Yes.
Short talk this morning, a little bit about our recent trip to Mauritius. Well, this is our third annual trip to Mauritius at the time of Ganesha Chaturthi. So one of the members there asked me to grade the trip. I wasn't so sure what system to grade it in, you know, 3, 4, 5 star, good, better, best. So instead of trying to fit into that, I just said that the trip seems to be getting better organized every year and much more successful every year. So he liked that answer. So a good example of that was the talk at the Rose Hill Temple. Every year we try and give one public talk, one of the temples in Mauritius. And so this year, Rose Hill was chosen, which is more central than the ones we've tried before. And so we had a very good turnout. It was on a Thursday night. We had about 400 people came. And talk was on Hindu unity. I gave the English, and then it was translated a paragraph at a time into Creole. And I was very impressed not only by the size of the group, but the fact that they all were listening very attentively to both versions, both the English and the Creole. So that was a good sign. So the first part of the talk was presentation of Gurudeva's idea of Hindu solidarity as a unity in diversity. And it was very well received. And afterwards, Dr. Pillai, publisher of the monthly religious newspaper Vanakkam, commented quite positively on the talk. In fact, he offered us a full page in his monthly newspaper if we want to fill it every month for Gurudeva's teachings and the activities of the Dharamsala Spiritual Park there. So that was a good outcome of the talk. And he also liked the content of the talk and pointed out that Mauritius, as some of you know, continues to have strong divisions among the Hindus, and this has existed since Gurudeva started first going there in the early 1980s. And some of the factions there have a unique idea, and they promote that Tamil is a religion, separate from Hinduism. So Tamil is the religion of the Tamils, and Hinduism is the religion of the Hindi-speaking Mauritians. It's a very unique idea, and but some people buy into it, and which is divisive, divides the Hindu community, fragments it. And of course, there's no scholarly support for this idea at all. In fact, I was looking this morning and thought we might send the reference to Dr. Pillai because he likes to refute this idea in his newspaper with something authoritative. So I was looking at our most authoritative book on Tamil, which is the University of Madras Tamil lexicon. So you look up the word Tamil, and in the Tamil language, the word Tamil just refers to the language. And there's another word for Tamils, which is the people. But there's nothing there about religion. Look through all the variations, and there's not a thing that talks about Tamil being a religion. So it's an idea that would be good to effectively counter in Mauritius. So, something which I thought about afterwards, and I'm thinking about including in another version of the talk, a future version of the talk, is an idea that goes like this. Sometimes we encounter leaders of Hindu organizations in North America and even elsewhere who share with us a perspective that Hinduism should be presented as a unity without diversity. That Hinduism, in order to be strong, should have one scripture that all Hindus consider its core scripture, concepts regarding the many Hindu deities that all Hindus accept, common beliefs regarding key philosophical concepts such as God, soul, and world, and so on. So this, of course, is a point you run into regularly. Unity without diversity. So various Hindu organizations put this idea forward to us on occasion, and so I always respond with Gurudeva's perspective that Hinduism's natural unity is one that maintains diversity, and to eliminate the diversity would be to fundamentally change the nature of Hinduism. In fact, Hinduism's ability to accept diversity is really a strength and not a weakness. For example, it makes Hinduism quite tolerant toward other religions. In other words, the diversity of Hinduism can effectively be presented as a strength rather than a weakness. So it's an interesting idea that could be developed. You know, that being diverse makes it tolerant. Being diverse makes it broad. Being diverse makes it this, makes it that. So it's a interesting theme that could be developed in future talks, but the point here that is developed is the idea that diversity gives us the strength of tolerance. And tolerance is something the world needs more of these days, religious tolerance, ethnic tolerance, and so forth. So it's an obvious strength, not a weakness. So moving on, the second part of the talk in Rose Hill on Hindu unity was the idea that all Hindus worship the same supreme being. So let me quote from that, it's very short. The essence of the second aspect of Hindu unity is that though Hindus of different denominations worship different gods, Hindus are united by the understanding that they all worship the same supreme being. There is a famous verse from the Rig Veda that is often quoted in this regard. It is, "Truth is one, sages express it variously." This same statement from the Rig Veda can be expanded beyond Hinduism to include all the world's religions, that there is only one supreme being, and all the world's religions are in truth worshipping the same supreme being. In fact, there is a verse often chanted in Siva temples, which is Tenadudaya Sivane Poti, and Naptavarapu Mireva Poti. This verse translates as, "He who is worshipped as Shiva in the southland is worshipped elsewhere as God." What this means, of course, is that people around the world worship the same supreme being, and Shiva is one of the many names of the supreme being. Thus, an even fuller expression of the second idea of Hindu unity is that Hindus are united by the understanding that not only all Hindus, but also the followers of all religions of the world, in truth, worship the same supreme being. So that was the idea in the talk, and then I realized afterwards, in talking it over with others, that it would be nice to add a quote from Gurudeva. So fortunately, the perfect quote came up for future reference just a few days ago in our daily lesson, where Gurudeva says, "Saivites profoundly know that God Shiva is the same supreme being in whom peoples of all faiths find solace, peace, and liberation." Didn't waste a word, did he? Very nice. I'll read that again. "Saivites profoundly know that God Shiva is the same supreme being in whom peoples of all faiths find solace, peace, and liberation." So also, we were having some post-talk discussions on this, and I remembered the story. How many of you know the story of the blind men and the elephant? Anybody, how many remember that story? Blind men and the elephant, right. So I was thinking about it and saying, well, that'd be a good story to get in here somewhere, because it's a way of explaining how there can be so many different concepts of the same supreme being. So it's an interesting story. So of course, to find a story, what do? You type a few words into Google. Blind men, elephant, pushed the button and found way too many websites for me to ever read. But I went to a few of them and came up with what seems to be the most readable version of the story, which is a version by the American poet John Godfrey Saxe, 1816 to 1887. That's a while ago. And so the poem that he wrote, the way it's described, is provides a metaphorical explanation as to how the descriptions in the world's religions of the one supreme being that they all worship can so radically differ. So it's based on an ancient India story from India. So he starts out, "It was six men of Indostan, to learning much inclined, who went to see the elephant, though all of them were blind, that each by observation might satisfy his mind." Isn't that cute? "The first approached the elephant, and happening to fall against his broad and sturdy side, at once began to bawl, 'God bless me, but the elephant is very like a wall.' The second, feeling of the tusk, cried, 'Ho, what have we here? So very round and smooth and sharp. To me 'tis mighty clear, this wonder of an elephant is very like a spear.' The third approached the animal, and happening to take the squirming trunk within his hands, thus boldly up he spake, 'I see,' quoth he, 'the elephant is very like a snake.' The fourth reached out an eager hand and felt about the knee, 'But most this wondrous beast is like, is mighty plain,' quoth he, 'tis clear enough the elephant is very like a tree.' The fifth, who chanced to touch the ear, said, 'E'en the blindest man can tell what this resembles most. Deny the fact you can, this marvel of an elephant is very like a fan.' The sixth no sooner had begun about the beast to grope, than seizing on the swinging tail that fell within his scope, 'I see,' quoth he, 'the elephant is very like a rope.' So these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion exceeding stiff and strong. Though each was partly in the right, all were in the wrong." Moral. So oft in theologic wars the disputants, I ween, rail on in utter ignorance of what each other mean, and prate about an elephant not one of them has seen. So it's very interesting. So there's a nice comment here. It's a comment from, I think they said seventh grade curriculum comment for presenting this to seventh graders. "The author compares the elephant to God and makes the point that in each perspective, in this case about religion, has part of but not the whole truth. This statement on perspective has particular relevance in India, where there is a vast array of religion and points of view. One of the fundamental themes in world cultures is learning to understand different perspectives." Goes on to expand on the idea. It says, "It's easy for each blind man to jump to conclusions based on limited experience and first impressions. Sachs is telling his audience not to assume you have the whole truth just because you know one part of the truth. Don't rely on first impressions to tell you all you need to know. If we share our perspectives, we will come to a more complete understanding of the truth. Working together is more effective than working alone." So they're expanding it to other ideas beyond just religion. So that's the Rose Hill portion of our journey, 2 week journey to Malaysia, Singapore, and Mauritius. And the timeless message, you can pull that talk out every few years, and unless Mauritius has some major change, it still fits, because they're kind of stuck in this division. The Hindus have trouble uniting there, and certain people take advantage of that and play on the differences and kind of keep the Hindus from uniting as effectively as they could and should, for the betterment of all humans. So therefore it's good to repeat Gurudeva's message there every few years. And the part of the message which I didn't read, which applies most, is standing strong together. That united we stand, divided we fall idea, that Hindus can face their common problems much better if we all stand together, united. And there are common problems that face Hinduism, and that's one of the reasons for having an effective Hindu unity that encompasses Hindu diversity, which Gurudeva calls Hindu solidarity. Thank you very much. Om Namah Shivaya.